Also, you've also done a lot of television work as well, haven't you?
Oh, bizarrely, by default.
The one that sort of is intriguing me more than anything is The Killer in Exile, which is a documentary that you... Did you help produce it?
That was Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that was weird. There's a chap called Dr. Rock, who is based up in Scarborough. He's a corroboratist, ironically, but he is very knowledgeable about Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found Jerry Lee a fascinating story because he was a hell of a character and a hellraiser many years ago. And we decided to do a documentary for Chrysalis Films. So Jerry Lee came over to Ireland, and whilst he was there, I brokered a deal that, you know, we'd do an interview about him, and I decided to call it The Killer in Exile because at the time he was in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
Getting away from the IRS in the States, because he lived in Memphis,
yeah.
And there was a bit of an issue there with the IRS. He owed the money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were interviewing him, the phone goes, and his wife at the time, Kerry Lewis, answer the phone, and it was the IRS or somebody telling her that the IRS had just raided their house.
Mm-hmm.
So here's me trying to get this documentary done, and she's about to tell him that, you know, Jerry, the house has just been raided and he's taking your piano.
I
run out in the back and I'm telling her, oh, that's a nice ring, and I'm trying to distract her while we were recording the interview. Very, very strange. I ended up going over to Memphis and finishing the documentary off, and he just had this amazing house, which was the, I always remember the swimming pool, massive swimming pool in the shape of a grand piano. And the keys were the steps going down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the kitchen, there were holes on the top units. And I said, what are they? Well, he said, my wife burnt some cooking. She was never a good cook, so I shot the gun in the air, and I told her to stop cussing. So, yeah, it's funny. I've come across all these weird little things, but, it's been a fun life, as you can gather.
Yeah, so what is it like for you now? Because I know you do a lot of the PR.
Well, yeah, I set up, after being with all the majors, I'd obviously built up a lot of contacts, and somebody called me out of the blue saying, could you help me? I've got an artist coming into the UK, need to get some radio and TV shows sorted out. Would you help me out? And it all stemmed from there, so I set up Lander PR. And what we do now, we help a lot of young bands,
mm-hmm.
you know, local bands, whether they're from Scotland, Manchester, wherever. We help them sort of get on the steps and try and aim them in the right direction, getting them little bits of exposure, introducing them to new audiences, doing that. But at the same time, I get all the big American artists calling me up to help as well. I mean, the most recent one was Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers, the Deep Voice.
Yeah.
And Bill was such a lovely... And these guys are so fascinating because we'll be in the car. I was driving up to do BBC Breakfast News, and we're in the car together chatting away. And, of course, I'm talking about Elvis. You know, I said, well, he must have been fascinating. And then Bill starts telling me the story about how he and his wife went round to see Elvis and Priscilla at their house. And they're having a chat, and then Elvis says, shall we take the movies in? Shall we take the... And he said, yeah. He said, so we all jumped in the limousine, but Elvis jumped in the front seat in the driver's seat and put a hat on. And Bill's saying, you should be back here. What are you doing? Don't worry, he said. Leave it to me. And as they drove out the gates, of course, all the thousands outside are looking in the back window. And Elvis just smiles and drives on, and he says, and that's why I drive.
That is a brilliant story.
Yeah, we were getting all these gem little stories because, of course, the Righteous Brothers, in the days that they recorded, Bill was saying, he said, you would not believe who was on Unchained Melody.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was a cast of 1,000. I mean, Cher is singing, Bono's playing tambourine, Glen Campbell playing guitar. It's just a lineup of 1,000,000 stars.
You're kidding me.
Wow. Oh, yeah, yeah. And he was such a lovely, lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you find working and dealing with egos, you know, the younger artists tend to explode and, you know, people tend to schmarm and tell them they're always fantastic and this, that and the other. But the older artists are the ones that have been there, done it, seen it,
mm-hmm.
and then they become back to normal people.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Jones is the same. I mean, you have a chat with Tom. I remember taking Tom for a beer And, you know, do you want to go to a restaurant? Oh, is there a good pub around here, Judge?
Yeah.
And we'd end up having a beer. And it's quite cool. Obviously, the minus points are, you know, them being recognised all the time and not being able have a straight conversation for, you know, more than a minute, you know, because somebody will come up and say, can I have your autograph? And, you know, it's the encroachment that sometimes can be the real headache for these people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I was always glad to be the backroom boy, because, you know, I can go out and have a laugh and have my dinner and not have a worry about people coming over.
That's right. You can have, for argument's sake, me and you could go out to McDonald's or something and nobody bothers you at all.
Oh, no, you get bothered because they don't recognise you, but they say, who's that little fat man with you?
Oh, thank you. But you've done so much in the music industry, and you've received one of the, I don't know if you want to speak about this, I should have actually asked you first, but you've received one of the highest musical accolades ever by receiving the Gold Award from the British Academy of Songwriters, Composers and Authors.
Oh, yeah, that was a highlight. You
that
know,
must
my,
have been...
My mum was over the moon there. I mean, it's because we've been helping, and it's not just me, but my company have helped so many young bands try to get their first foot on the ladder. That, you know, the Songwriters Guild, obviously they benefit by records being played and the songwriters getting established. And it's through, I suppose, my help with all the young ones that sort of, you know, gave me that award. And I was over the moon and, you know, some lovely people there. You know, fantastic. Who was it? Kiki D got one as well.
Right.
And there were loads of people. Mm-hmm. And a guy called Frankie Vaughan, who was in there. Well, sadly, he's not with us anymore.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And I was well pleased and proud.
Oh, you must be. Especially for your team, you know, for the guys and girls that work for you in that as well.
Oh, they're great. Mm-hmm. You can tell I've got a bit of a sense of humour. I mean, coming from Liverpool, you have to. All the guys here are great. You know, Adam and the team. They're, again, like me, you know, they love getting involved with the music business, helping bands get going. And the biggest buzz is people like yourself saying, oh, yes, I'd like to interview them, or I like that track. Well, that means so much. What you're doing is giving that artist a little step up.
Yeah.
And it's so, and more now today than yesterday, because with the record business now, it's in such dire straits, all because of the download. And, it's a bit of a quandary. But at the end of the day, if somebody's written a good track or there's a good record there, if it's that good, it will eventually see the light of day. So, you know, I'm working with her. There's a girl called Cara Mann who's from New Orleans. You know, no doubt you'll probably get Adam phoning up your station, blagging you on that. But, you know, artists like that where she's like country, but there's something about her that I found when I heard the track, a bit of a spark. So I thought, hang on, this could be quite good.
Yeah.
And, it's just, I get inspired and I'm getting on a bit now, but I still love to hear a great tune.
Yeah, I mean, I've had, from yourselves, I've had recently Glass Giants on.
Oh, fab.
I've had East Road on.
Yeah.
And is it Delandra?
Delaire.
Yeah, Delaire, that's it. Sorry, Delaire. Yeah, I've had her on. Absolutely awesome. They really are amazing.
Well, yeah, these are the kids now. I think they work a lot more harder now than they ever did. You know, because the important thing is, you know, is trying to create that track. It's just bizarre. Trying to create a track is it's the toughest thing ever. You know, you can profess to be a painter, you paint something.
Mm-hmm.
There are a million other people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And the same with music. You write a song and you hope that's, and of course all your mates say, oh, fantastic. But in the cold light of day, it could easily, you know, be pushed aside.
Yeah.
So it's a tough business to be in. But once you break through, once you get that lucky shot, then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
I work on the Brits every year. I have done for the last 20-odd years.
Yeah.
So you see these new artists come along, and it's quite fun. I'm just trying to think of some of the artists that have, you know, the Spice Girls. I remember them doing their first Brit Awards. A host of things, and certain artists will Emily Sandys.
Yes.
Emily was there, and her manager I know from old, and she was sweet. She brought her parents down. Of course, she's a good Scots girl.
That's right,
and while we're at the table, she said, listen, any chance of getting my mum in on the shot? I said, of course, no problem. So that when she comes, and the winner is, I had to get mum and dad in, and then she was over the moon.
Oh, bless.
So, you know, we do have a little bit of fun on the Brits as well.
Yeah.